Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us here today. Thank you for always being with us out there. And, you know, it's an interesting season of the history of the world. I was listening to some, studying some messages this week from Dr. Summerall, and he was talking about his shortwave radio station and how it was reaching three-quarters of the globe. And, you know, I just was thinking, that's so interesting, because in a matter of seconds, sitting in my kitchen, I can reach the whole world on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, on something, and it doesn't even cost me any money. And I would imagine Dr. Summerall probably paid $1 million for everything that he had set up to do shortwave radio around the world. And yet, he was so excited that three-quarters of the globe could hear the message that he was preaching. And you think about the day in which we live, and you're just like, wow, 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 God, you're doing a very, very big and mighty, mighty thing on this earth. All right, looks like YouTube's up and joined with us. God bless all of our YouTubers. We are glad to have you with us today. God bless you. Thank you for always being here and being a part. You know, it's an amazing thing. I was studying our Read the Word program. You know, actually, I'm going through the Bible again this year. And this year, I get to listen to myself. And I get to watch myself and say, oh, why did I say or do that? But it's all right. It's all good. It's the Word of God. And what a powerful force to be able to have a YouTube channel and just literally reach the world. And, you know, I never got to be a part of John Osteen's ministry except one time. And man, what a powerful man of God he was, missionary and preacher and Holy Ghost man. And thank God for that ministry, and that all we got to do is pull up YouTube and you can find any of this and study and grow and develop in God. And we thank God for it. Now, we've been in a series here out of Hebrews chapter 11 that says, by faith. And then, of course, we've preached about some of the different men and women of God and what they were able to get accomplished by their faith. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus. By faith, Jesus. Now, I know you might say, Pastor, I don't remember seeing that in the book of Hebrews. Well, it's really not there in those terms. And yet, since Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, of course, he is in the book of Hebrews. And you just come to the realization that every time it says by faith, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And so when you say by faith, you are speaking about Jesus. And so this is going to be a good lesson this morning. Thank you for being with us. Now, those of you that have been on YouTube, that which got us deleted was a conversation about the election in 2020. And so YouTube has come out very strong on that. And as long as we stay away from that subject, then we should be okay. Hold on. There we go. Did you come back? There you are. So just stick with us. Like we've said over and over, make sure that you learn how to use all of our technology. Make sure you learn how to use Blog Talk Radio. Get into Zoom program with us. And then it'll be a blessing to you. That way, no matter what happens, you have the ability to be connected with us. And we want you connected with us as we continually do this. As you can see, I'm in my kitchen again this morning. Sister Leanne is not with me yet, but keep your faith with us, because we're just speaking life and life more abundantly to Sister Leanne's dad. And it's working. We're seeing mighty, miraculous miracles every single day in Jesus.
Amen. It is working.
It is working. So here we go. Grab your Bibles. Open them up. We're going to have 1 hour of faith and communion. It's probably going to just be 1 hour of faith and communion, not 1 hour of faith and then communion, but it'll be all right. Hold your Bibles up. Let's make our confession today. Say this with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what God's word says I am.
I am what God's word says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great
the
I am.
The Holy Spirit of God is making this word come alive.
The Holy Spirit of God is making this word come alive.
In my life today.
In my life today.
I receive the word of God.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's say something extra. Say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
Therefore, body and soul, pay attention.
Body and soul, pay attention.
And be renewed to the word of God.
And be renewed to the word of God.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Here we go. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start out in verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of the things that's not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So now we got God in the third verse. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible, but they were real things, real realities, because God saw the darkness, and he didn't say, my, it's dark out here. He said, let there be light. And there was light, and he saw the light, and the light was good. Can you imagine if God would have said, wow, it sure is dark out here? That's what you would have got, was the darkness. And you and I know from our experiences in life since we've been born again, that every time we get in faith, mountains move. And every time we get in doubt, mountains don't move as fastly as they should. Now, you might not think fastly is a good word, but we believe in the word fastly. It's real closely related to suddenly and immediately, fastly. So don't worry about it. Now, go with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Somebody shout, I love the word of God. Watch this. Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. God, who at various times and in various ways. Now think about all the ways that God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. He sent them dreams. He sent them visions. He sent them trances. He sent them signs and wonders. He told them to go do this, and it happened. He told Joshua, somehow, he showed Joshua the picture of marching around Jericho. And Joshua saw it. We'll go look at it in just a minute. Verse 2, has in these last days spoken unto us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and we are joint heir of him who is heir of all things. So you want to just shout it with me? I'm an heir and a joint heir. Matter of fact, you might want to just get up and dance a little bit. Woo! I'm an heir and I'm a joint heir. People are like, you know, Pastor, why would you get crazy like that? Well, wait, it's not being crazy. Can you imagine what would happen today? Because some of you have more faith in Bill Gates than you do God. If somebody walked up to your door and handed you a check from Bill Gates and said, you're now worth $1 billion, you would do more than just sit there and ponder for a few seconds. You'd probably get up and do somewhat of a little dance or a little jig, and you'd be saying, woo! Why? Because you're an heir and a joint heir of all things. God did it. Let's keep reading. Verse 2. Through whom he also made the world. Jesus was the creator of this world. Look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And check it out, by that same inheritance that he has obtained, we are joint heirs with his heirship, his heirness, his inheritance. You and I are joint heirs with it. See, all of a sudden, if we'll keep our nose and our eyes in the book, we'll actually start to believe just exactly what it is that God is saying is coming to pass. Now, I want you to look at this. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. And let's do 1 through 11. That's the reference. We may not get there, but we're going to read it. Therefore, now remember, our series is by faith. And then we use somebody's name. Today it's by faith Jesus fixed the will he heal, and they were healed. Speak about everybody who was there. They said, will he heal? Will you heal me? And he said, I will. And they were healed. You and I got to get that same fix inside of us. Jesus, not only will Jesus heal you, Jesus has been trying to get you and me to believe him that he'll heal us and then just walk confidently in it every single day of our life. Now watch. Therefore, Hebrews 12:1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of faith. So therefore, every time you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and you see by faith, you can actually say by Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because he's the author of faith. He is not just the one that gets it started, but he's also the one that teaches you how to grow it and develop it and be established in it. And now, when you start looking at it and you realize that that's actually what and who Jesus is in your life, man, you and I are going to begin to do more and more great and mighty things by faith than we have ever done before in our life. And all of a sudden, you're going to start seeing things move on a regular basis. Now watch this. Looking unto Jesus, let us lay aside every weight and the snare and run with race. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So once Jesus got here, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. We're going to see that in just a minute. But Jesus became the author and finisher of faith because he came to this earth and obedience to what the Father gave him to do. He did it all. And he did it without sin. He did it without complaining. Jesus, help us to get our complainer fixed. Because probably that's the biggest problem most believers have today, is that we don't realize that complaining is actually a sin. And yet, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, when they began to gripe and complain, God sent snakes amongst them and bit them. So fix your griper. Yeah, I won't say that one. Keep reading. Verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Well, you and I are some of those sinners that caused Jesus to have to be crucified and die such a brutal death. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. I remember that day I was studying that one John Bevere teaching, and he said, he was teaching about offense, and he said, people say to me all the time, yeah, but Brother John, you don't know what they did to me. And he said, I always tell them, you don't know what you did to Jesus. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners. That's you and me. Now, we're not now, but Jesus had to suffer that so that you and I could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, my daughter, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, corrected. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? If you're without chastening, of which all have been become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. No chastening seems to be joyous for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, I want you to see this. Let's go now to, I think it's Luke 17. Is that what it was? Uh-oh, I didn't write it down. Don't do that. Always write it down. Luke 11. Isn't that something? Well, no matter how much you think you know it, the next time you're preparing your message, write it down. It's the story of the man who said, do you believe I can make you? No, he's the one that said, will you heal me? Jesus said, I will, and he was made whole. Anyways, we'll find that verse and we'll get to it. Here's the whole context of today's word to you and I about faith. The only time doubt and unbelief really has an opportunity to get inside of us is when somewhere within us we've accepted a word from the enemy that says, maybe God won't do this. Now, most of us sitting here, most of you who listen to me on a regular basis, you might say, well, Pastor, that's not me. I know God will heal. And yet, let's ask the question, do you? I know God will supply for me, Pastor. Okay. Do you? And like the one guy said, there ain't no sense continually believing that you believe something that you ain't believing, because if you ain't believing, you're actually not believing.
Matthew 8:2.
Thank you, love. I'm certain it was Luke. Matthew 8:2. Always learn a lesson from me. Always write the verse in the notes. It's okay. Matthew 8. Yep. And it is Luke. Luke 5, too. We'll go there. But Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now remember, you don't have the Bible to look at, but we have it. Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Not just clean, cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. So the man comes to Jesus, obviously heard about Jesus, and said, if you are willing, I know you could heal me. Even in that day, as they saw thousands, I mean, you got to think about how many miracles Jesus had in his meeting. When the power of God was so strong on him that people just endeavored to touch the hem of his garment, that was a very powerful anointing on our Jesus. And the bottom line is there's going to be hundreds and even thousands of people that day would be healed. There was nobody else that was having healing meetings except Jesus. And so thousands upon thousands of people were being healed. But like this leper, you know, the thing about a leper is nobody was supposed to touch them. Nobody was even supposed to be near them. How this man got close enough to Jesus, he was violating a whole bunch of ceremonial law of the Jews. And yet, as he came and worshiped him, he said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And he put out his hand. Jesus violated that law. Wait, Jesus violated the law that he himself was the one that set it up? Jesus was the one that gave the law to Moses. In heaven, Jesus was the Word. So Jesus said, "This is the law up to this point, but now I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And therefore, as Jesus reached out his hand and touched him, he violated that law. Actually, what he did is he superseded that law and said, there is a greater law. And that law is the law of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in these two laws, you have fulfilled all the law and all the prophets. And so Jesus reached out his hand, touched him, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now the man said clean, and Jesus said cleansed. Two totally different words. What Jesus had to do was help this guy get past the fact of whether or not it was God's will to heal him. The Old Testament people, they were stuck in the fact that if God wanted to do it, he could. But sometimes God just wanted to take you out. That's just the way he was. But that's not the way God was. And when you look all the way through the Old Testament, God gave anyone who wanted to walk with him the freedom and liberty to walk with him. And when you think about, let's use Caleb and Joshua for an example of it. Caleb and Joshua, they said, they came back and told the right story. And so as all of the thumbsuckers, the fearful, unbelieving, full of doubt people died in the wilderness, they did not die in the wilderness. They got to live and not die in the wilderness. And so their shoes didn't wear out. Their bodies didn't wear out. Their families didn't have sin. They continually grew and developed. And Caleb and Joshua were 80 years old when they crossed over the Jordan River. Now, you know, I'm 60 now, so I'm not even close to 80 at all. And I know how strong I feel. And yet both of these men at 80 years old were like, "I'm as strong today." Caleb said, "I'm as strong today as I was the day we left Egypt. 40 years ago, I'm as strong today as I was that day." And he looked at Joshua and said, "I want my mountain." And Joshua said, "Go, man, go." Caleb took the mountain with all the giants in it. Why? He's like, that pack of thumbsuckers said that there's giants. I'm going to go take them giants out at 80 years old. It just, like how Dr. Barclay said it during the conference, is if you were a big guy standing in front of him in the fight, that just meant a bigger timber. When I knocked you out, down you went. All right? It's just a bigger timber. See, all things are possible to them who believe. But you're not going to be strong in believing until you get this word down deep in your heart. Like the leper, he had obviously heard of many people being healed up until this point in the book of Matthew. There is no other reference of Jesus healing a leper. Now I can't say to you that Jesus never healed the leper before Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. I can't say that, all right? But what I am saying is that leper didn't have a Bible so he could go read it. You and I do. That leper didn't have, he wasn't born again. He wasn't filled with the Spirit of God. He wasn't baptized with Holy Spirit and fire. He didn't have a Bible. They had the tithe. Whether or not he was, we don't know. They didn't have the ecclesia, the body of Christ, standing around them and all of them in the prayer of agreement together. The old covenant here is passing away, and the new covenant is coming in to stay. And so these people are just now learning, and as you and I can see, are actually writing the Bible as we see it. Now let's go over to Luke chapter 5. Let's read it again over there. By faith. I love this. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Let's read 6 through 15, because this is another one of those really good stories about Jesus on the Sabbath, and he's toasting the religious folks. I like it when he toasts the religious folks. Did any of you get to see that John Osteen video I posted about praying in the Holy Ghost? Not yet? Make sure you go watch it. It's on my Facebook page. He said, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues. He said, I went over to the Pentecostals, but those people scared me. He said, they told me that Dodie had to take off her earrings. I didn't know about that. And couldn't wear makeup. And he said, I've seen her without makeup. All right. I just thought that was funny. No, see, that's what religion tries to get you to do. Religion tries to get you to do a religious act to make you holy before the Lord. That's not how it works. Hey, Wayner dude. Love you, brother. John Wayner's with us over here on YouTube. Sorry, brother. We missed you last week. God will judge them for what they did, but here we are. We're being good servants. Where am I at? Oh, I'm in Luke chapter 6, verse 6. Luke 6, 6 through 16. And watch this. It happened on another Sabbath. You got to love Jesus. Also, that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. Scribes and the Pharisees watched Jesus. Notice that him there is capitalized. Watched him, that means Jesus. So you can actually put the word Jesus in there and it's not out of order. Watch Jesus closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find, don't look up, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man who had the withered hand. So right there, you can see Jesus gets a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom while he's there, and a word of knowledge, because he can tell, discerning his spirit, he can tell what they're thinking. And he said, you, arise, stand here. I've seen Dr. Barclay say that over and over. Arise, stand right here. He said that to me the first time he prophesied over me. He said, stand right here. So I did. I love this. Jesus said, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And you know how Jesus was. Maybe you don't, but I do. He just stopped talking and just stood there looking at him. I mean, he knows them all. He's in their synagogue all the time. He knows them. Hi, Philip. Hey, Bart. And so he just looks them right in the eye. Well, you know, they're not going to be able to look truth in the eye. So they look away. And when he looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored as well as whole as the other. Reached forth his hand and it was healed. I want you to realize there's no great prayer by Jesus in this miracle. Oh, Father of heaven and earth. This man's been around the temple for a long time, and here he is today in the temple again, and he's needing a touch from you, Father. That's not what Jesus did. He said, stretch out your hand, and the man's hand was healed. Maybe many times when we see someone with a horrible physical disease process in front of us, the reason we don't hear those simple words from God of how to see that person made whole is because we're trying to make it sanctimonious and religious rather than just listening to the voice of Almighty God when he says, just tell him, reach out your hand. Maybe all he's going to say to you is, pray for the lady at the checkout stand. I've had him say it to me many times. Many times I've done it. Other times, usually when I didn't get up and spend sufficient time with him in the morning, I questioned, well, am I really hearing from God? The devil ain't going to tell you to pray for somebody at a checkout stand. See, all Jesus said to this guy is stretch out your hand. And his hand was made completely well. Now, when you function that way, just remember, the verse 11, the religious will be filled with rage and begin to talk about you and discuss back and forth together about you of what they got to do to stop you from doing such a thing. Why? Because they won't move in that same power. They won't move in that same power. Why? They don't know the power. They just know a religious action and a religious observance. Jesus spoke with the authority of Father God. Amen, John. Amen. See, we just read in Hebrews about whom the Father loves, he chastens. Now, Jesus is not just correcting the Sadducees and scribes. He's flat out rebuking them. And many people have felt like that's the relationship they're going to have with the Father. Every day, all day long, he's going to tell you you're doing wrong. But that's not the relationship you're going to have with the Father, because once he tells you how to do something, every one of us are in love with God and we want to be like him, so we'll just go do it. And now that you have many days of going and doing the right thing, then all the Father's got to do is gently guide you. You don't have to have deep rebukes. A deep rebuke is just for somebody who is refusing to do what he says. Keep reading, because we're going to go way out here. Came to pass, in those days he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. If you haven't been there lately, try it. Just all night in prayer to God. Not where you're complaining, not where you're griping, where you're ministering to the Lord and speaking faith over things. When it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles, Simon whom he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. Verse 17. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd and his disciples. Well, I lost my place. And a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. And they were healed. The whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him, and he healed them all. And he healed them all. Now, I am not in the right chapter. How come one of you didn't check me out on that and say, Pastor, that's not the right chapter?
You were doing good with this one.
I'm like, my leper story is not showing up. What is going on here? Matthew 5:12, not 6:12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy. So Luke tells us he was full of leprosy. That means it was everywhere. And saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. That is probably the most important statement that you and I need to come to a revelation of, is that Jesus has already said from Genesis to Revelation that he is willing to do it for you, whatever it is, whether it's health in your body, soundness of your mind, strength in your marriage, salvation for your children, your business prosper, your life prosper, your job prospers, a breakthrough. We were talking about it before we got started with Sunday, about heat coming and a repairman getting to the apartment complex so that the heaters will work. In the mighty name of Jesus, you think about the three Hebrew children and Daniel. Daniel and the three Hebrew children, they stopped the edict that went out that all soothsayers and wise men would be killed. Now, the king was wise to get rid of the witchcraft people, the sorcerers. He was wise to get rid of them, but don't get rid of Daniel and the three Hebrew children. They're men of actual wisdom. And so by faith, their faith and trust in God stopped that edict, and they were no longer killed and destroyed. Then, you know, the three Hebrew children, the sorcerers were still trying to kill them, and so they set up the false god to bow down to, and they're like, we're not bowing down to it. You can throw us in the furnace if you want, and our God is going to save us. But if he doesn't, we're going to tell you right now, we're not bowing down to your God. And so then that law got changed. That law was changed. And Nebuchadnezzar said, there is no other God than the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hananiah, Azar, those three guys, and Mishael. And so God is continually calling you and I to the point where he is asking us to stand in faith. And he gives you an assignment that presents to you a Goliath, a giant. It's not because he's trying to wear you down or something. He's trying to get rid of that Goliath. He's trying to stop the wrong. He wants you to stand up in faith and speak something, say something, do something, so that that situation will change and it'll be a blessing in the lives of many other people. God didn't send the giant to scare David. God sent David to take out the giant. So immediately in your life, You got to look around and begin to say, well, where am I and what's going on and who is it around me that God's wanting me to change a situation that it'll bless their life? What? I know that God does it. They are still wondering and questioning. Okay, I know God can heal, but will he heal me? I know God will supply, but will he supply for me? And that's our responsibility every day for the rest of our life, is to go into all this world and to preach the gospel and to watch him show up with signs, wonders, and miracles and confirm his word. We speak through our mouths from a life that's filled with faith. Let's keep reading. I'm down to verse 13. I'm in Luke 5, 13. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. I like how Jesus starts it. I am, he says his name. I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him. Now, let's read the next verse. He charged them to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. The man was made whole. He was cleansed. He wasn't just clean. He was cleansed. What? And Jesus said, oh, and by the way, go to the temple, because when you do, you're going to show them the miracle, and they're going to be caused to believe. 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes, not just little ones, came together to hear him and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew in the wilderness and prayed. Why? Because that's where Jesus went the first time he got empowered. So what did he do? He went back there often, because most of them wouldn't follow him into the wilderness, and he actually could find a place to pray. Verse 17, and it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. So the teachers of the law were coming to see him. In that group of teachers of the law were many priests who were like, I'm going to follow this Jesus. But of course, they couldn't say it out loud, because if they said it out loud, they would lose their job. And look at this. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Right now, whether you're feeling a goosebump, a hallelujah, a stirring in your chest, the power of the Lord is present right here, right now, to heal. Why? Because he sent his word and healed their diseases. Can you find that verse for me, love? I actually think it's Psalm 105. Doesn't look like it. He sent his word and healed their diseases. So right now, while I'm teaching, you can be healed.
Psalm 107:20.
I was close. I was in the right corner of town, just wasn't on the right street. Psalm 107, verse 20. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of all their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. He sent his word and healed their diseases. Let's keep watching these scribes and Pharisees. time is it? We got time. I'm in 17. I'm in Luke 5:17. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. Notice that him is capitalized. That's Jesus. And they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd of religious leaders made their way out through all the Mercedes mules and went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Now, these guys are actually sitting in Jesus' house. This is actually Jesus' house that this happened in. Now, get the picture. Jesus is teaching. The house is filled with scribes and Pharisees. They've all got their Mercedes mules tied up out front. It's a gathering of the successful priests. They were very wealthy people. So there was probably some horse and buggies, maybe a chariot or two. You never know everything that they might have had. Some of them were severe thieves, so they were probably very rich. And the house was full. Look what it says. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. These boys come with somebody wanting to be healed, and they can't get in. So they're like, well, let's drop him down through the ceiling. And the one guy standing outside telling them, a little bit to the left, come this way a little, right there. And they start tearing the roof up. Wait, this is Jesus' house. So the roofs were tile and mud. Can you imagine what happened? The man's laying on a cot that's at least got to be 3 foot by 4 foot by 2 foot. They took out a big old hole of Jesus' roof on his house. Keep reading, verse 20. When he saw there, he said to them, said to him, the man in the cot, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Remember what it said over here in 17? And the power of God was present to heal them all. And these men, even though the power was there to be healed, didn't get a thing because they were so stuck in the religious indoctrination. That's why I played that video I put that video on my Facebook of John Osteen preaching about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, because he said, for 19 years of my ministry, I was bound in 1,000 chains by the religious indoctrination of the men and women who trained me in the Baptist church. For 19 years of his ministry, he knew there was more to have, but he didn't go after it because of what some human had said to him. I say to every person that's listening to this video today, no matter what anybody has ever taught you about God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, or the Word of God, you don't ever let another man stand in the way of you receiving what you can tell your spirit, man. You who are the Spirit is being drawn out by God to go to a new level in Him. Don't let them limit you. Don't let, that's how we've always done it, limit you. I mean, if you're wanting to swing off the chandeliers and start an acrobatics, you know, troupe in the church because you're going to do some crazy things, that ain't right. But to not have all of the Holy Spirit you can have, that's religion. the people that have told you don't read your Bible, it'll make you go crazy. That is a serious demonic religious spirit that is making that statement. Because Jesus the Christ said, when you know the truth sets you free. And then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So you got to receive it by faith anyways. So that means that no matter what, you and I get to go in, and there's no man that can stop us. The reason why men freak out about us actually believing the Bible and the Holy Spirit and running free is because they can no longer control us and manipulate us for numbers or for the offering that we might bring them. And that's not what the kingdom of God is about at all. Like Brother Osteen said, the book of Numbers was a long time ago. We're now living in the book of Acts. And that means you got to have some action and get out and do some things. These men were trained in the things of God. But they allowed that religious demon to have such control over them because of the money they could have that they did not have the ability to actually come to the understanding. Let's see what Jesus says, and then we'll be done. Verse 22. When Jesus perceived his thoughts, he answered them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately, he rose up before them, took up what he'd been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. You got to watch this. That man stood up when Jesus said to, picked up his bed, and as he walked by, all those scribes and Pharisees, like, yeah, there, excuse me. And he went home glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God. And they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things here today. Now, you and I have the opportunity every single day of our life to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only time that we will hesitate is when we've been meditating in our life rather than meditating in the Word of God. There's only one way you're going to be healed. And that is, he sent his word and healed your disease. You and I, every one of us, are going to have to do, just like it says in the book of Hebrews, all the way through Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, by Jesus the Christ living in you, the author and finisher of our faith. By that faith that lives on the inside of you, by that faith is how you're going to be made whole and made strong. Now, think about how many times here we pray for people. God told us way back at the beginning of what we're doing right here, he told us that this would be a healing room where people could come and be healed. And so I declare to you today, be healed. What we got here? From Rockford, Illinois, Rochelle. From head to feet, restore new organs, body, bones, eyes, hair, nails, illness, and disease. Anointing oil. In Jesus' name. Father, we stand in agreement with Shelly Davis for Rochelle, however this goes. I'm going to name both them names, Jesus. Now, this is the prayer we pray. By faith, we know that God exists. By faith, we know he hears us when we pray. And we know that when he hears us, that we have the petition that we ask. We know it. Can't fail. He never fails. So, Jesus, we know you not only want to, but you are. I declare today, and Shelly Davis and Rachel Lewis, in their lives, that inner depth of faith and confidence arises because they're in the book, they're in the word, they're listening to a preacher who by faith in God's word believes in this healing power. Rachel, be healed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You, Rachel, you reach out and accept it. You do it. You reach out and say, I receive you, Jesus, in my life because I know you will heal. And I receive it done right now. If you've not been born again, you need to get born again. As Jesus just said, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. We say to you right now in Jesus' name, be free from sin. Thy sins be forgiven of you. Be forgiven. And be made whole. Be made in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Very interesting that right at the end of a message about being made whole and being healed in our body comes someone needing to be made whole. That's how God works. In Jesus' mighty name. Think about these facts. Think about this truth. In every one of these stories was someone who needed something from God. In every one of these stories was Jesus who knew he had the power of God. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth and you with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. We just saw multitudes being healed. And the Bible says, he healed them all. He healed them all. And so we say, be made whole. It doesn't matter what you need. There's people here today that their body's strong, but their mind is a mess. I want you to do this right now today. Just like you got a band around your head, a metal band that's just tight. I want you to just reach up with the hands of Jesus and just bend that metal off of your head and then just pull it off like you were taking a hat and discard it and say, I'll have no more mental challenge in my life. Jesus lives within me, and I think the thoughts of God. Maybe right now in your life, you need a house or you need a car. You need a different place to live. Some kind of financial home or business miracle that you need. I'm going to encourage you right now, just pull your wallet out. That's what I just did. I'm going to make that represent everything in my life that is of a financial nature. You ready? Just pull it out. Maybe you got a comfortable apartment, nice car, whatever, and you're just like, I don't really need anything. Well, you need to help us preach the gospel. So ask God to send you some more to help us preach the gospel so that we can reach the nations of the world. Just hold it up. Now I'm going to speak over it right now. Hold it in your hand. Lift your other hand. I say, in Jesus' name, wallet, be filled with money. Financial answers come. I declare houses come. Country farms come. How big is it? Ranches come. Personal businesses come. Large corporations come and listen. We speak to all of these situations in each person's life. I declare right now, in the name of Jesus, if you have something in your body you need, lay your hands on your own body and say, I receive healing in my body right now because Jesus, you are the healer in Jesus' mighty name. Wow, I can tell today. That this is a very simple message. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. If you have faith, that's just, you know God exists. You know it. You can tell by nature, tell by life. And you know he will reward you when you diligently seek him. That's faith. And now, take those two facts. Begin to use them like a wrench, like a hammer. Maybe you're a chef, like a set of knives, pans. Begin to use those scriptures and see things change, not only for you, because once you begin to see miracles happen for you, God will most definitely ask you to reach out and start blessing some other people. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray, and then we're going to receive communion. Those of you that are with us on YouTube, maybe you've never received communion online. That's another way that Jesus healed people. In the book of Exodus, the very first communion service, over 3 million people were healed in that one service. Well, Pastor, how do you know what the number is? Were you there counting? Quit being so skeptical. Quit being so gnarly about it. There was somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 million Israelites that came out of Egypt. They had been slaves for 400 years. Slaves are not treated kindly. They're not fed sufficiently. They're beaten often. And the Bible says in Exodus that every one of them were healed. There was not one feeble one amongst them. And that means they went from being slaves on this day to being healed, restored, mighty men and women of God on the very next day. Because of the communion elements. So I encourage you to get your elements ready. Get you a piece of bread and some grape juice. That's what I like to use because God said the fruit of the vine. But if all you got is crackers and water, that's fine too. Learn to make it work. We've got our elements. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for each of these who are with us. Thank you. Thank you. And now, as we close this part, finish this part, you will heal anyone who comes to you. You said, in no way will I cast you out if you come to me. And now, Father, as we begin to receive these communion elements, we focus our attention in on you, and we thank you for the work that Jesus did so that his blood can purge every stain and wash us free. In Jesus' mighty name. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, read these verses. I really want some of you to start reading these verses, really do. All the body's got to be used here, because this isn't about one. This is about all of us. And I value who you are, just like you value who I am. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, burial, and resurrection until he comes. Verse 28 reads, let a man or a woman examine himself. You don't have to examine anybody else. Examine yourself. And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. If you've sinned, don't run from God. Don't run from communion. Run to it. Run to him. He's already seen what you did. Run to him. And he's the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. In Jesus' mighty name. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, or 4, 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. We might be bold. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out all the fear and the torment and the trauma that goes with it. And I declare, even if you were traumatized religiously about the communion elements, that today that trauma is broken and you run to the kitchen really quickly and get you some communion elements to receive with us. In Jesus' mighty name. There's no place in this Bible that tells you you have to be in church in order to have communion. There's no place. I, in no way, want to have the communion elements become normal, common, and mundane, but no different than whether or not you eat Cocoa Wheats or Cocoa Puffs for breakfast every single day and you don't get tired of them. Maybe you're an egg and toast person. That's me. And you eat it every day and you don't get tired of it. Then you can receive the communion elements every day and you will not get tired of it. If you get tired, it's just inside your own self. And our sins is what put Jesus on that cross. And so we should worship him every day. I want you to pray a prayer of salvation with me. Everybody pray it, no matter who you are. Why? Because then we'll know you're right with God. Mean it from the depths of your heart. You can't just quote words and get the benefits, all the benefits of God. You got to mean it. But if you mean it, when we're finished with this prayer, you will be right with God. Let me see real quick if I got that. Yeah, let's do this. I've been working to get this where you guys can see it. And we can share this screen and all of us can read this together. Here we go. Pray this with me. Everybody just read it right at the same time. I thank you, Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life from destruction. Jesus, I thank you for giving yourself for me so that I can be complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe in you, and I choose to receive you into every part of my life. Thank you, Lord. You have given me everlasting life. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Now, it says pause and shout. So somebody just shout, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm getting this set up, but when I see something more, I'm going to just add it because now let's think about what just happened to you. Right. You mean, Pastor, that's all I had to pray? Yeah. Really? Many people have been born again by just shouting, Jesus, I receive you. And they were born again. Why? Because their heart had already been drawn to the things of God. And when they made that declaration out of their mouth, think about the thief on the cross. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom, sir. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus didn't get off the cross and neither did the thief. But the thief was with Jesus in paradise that day. And that simple prayer that you and I just prayed, I choose to receive you. We just read in Hebrews, all of your sins were purged. You were made a new creation. You've been reconciled to the Father. Once and for all, Jesus paid the price, and you are now in the kingdom. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, how? I don't know how to answer that question. I don't know. I've been around this kingdom for almost 50 years now. As a believer, I've been around the kingdom for 60 years. It's interesting. How does it work? I don't know. You speak with your mouth. You believe in your heart. Speak with your mouth. You're born again. That's how it works. And we welcome you. And we're glad to have you with us today. Now, how do I live the Christian life, Pastor? Where's the rules of do's and don'ts? There aren't no rules if you're walking with God. God Almighty just came to live within you. He's going to lead you now from the inside out. He's in here, and he's going to lead you from in here, out there. And you'll walk with him every day. Lay down to go to sleep at night. Say, Father, thank you for being with me today. As soon as you wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord. Another day. Help me reach the lost people around me today. They may not be lepers with leprosy on their skin, but they may have leprosy on their soul. And you and I can set them free. And then just walk with God every day. Psalm 23 says, he leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He will not fulfill. He will not fulfill. He will not fail. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Stay connected with us. Send me an email and say, hey, Pastor, I gave my life to Jesus today. I want to walk with him. I got a bunch of videos. We got a bunch of videos here on this program that you can listen to, all of them in this open format, just like this, to disciple you in the things of God. Your life will never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Hurry up. You're born again. Run and get you some communion elements right now. Take your phone, your tablet. Take it with you. Now, if it's a desktop, don't yank it out of the wall plugs. Remember, you can always hit pause, even when this video is live, and then as soon as you come back, it'll be ready to take off and be live again. Here we go. Hey, love you too, John. Stick around. We love you, man. Ready? Pray this with us. Whoops. I got it on the paper here. I'm trying to get it. There you go. Everybody say it together with me right now. As you instructed your disciples, Jesus, I receive these elements today. Bread, representing your broken body. And this juice, representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. You were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, my will, and in my emotion, there is nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer, I receive the bread, your broken body now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's eat the bread together. Thank you, Lord, for your body broken and your blood shed. And now I bless this grape juice in obedience to your word. In remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, I overcome. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there's no more condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. In Jesus' mighty name, I receive this juice now in remembrance of your bloodshed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Let's sing it. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have changed my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Well, there we go. Thank you, Jesus, for an awesome time together. Brother Dan, Sister Leanne, you guys got anything that the Holy Spirit gave you during this program? We're learning to use all of our gifts together to bless the people who are with us. Well, glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for this good word that Jesus said, I am willing, be made whole. And we are. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Well, let's just lift our hands like we do. And let's say it. I receive everybody who heard this word into the kingdom right now. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Come to Jesus. Even if you're in the 7 years of tribulation and you missed the rapture, come to Jesus. And now we receive our hundredfold return for sowing our life into this platform and these people. And we bless the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Blog Talk Radio, God bless you. YouTube, God bless you. Thank God for his wonder-working power that is in our life right here, right now, today, in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go.